Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1034. It's the 5th of April, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Leon Coetzer, Chief Executive Officer of Jubilee Metals Group, that's JLP ticker, and Leon discusses the immediate reinstatement of the mining license for their Kabwe project in Zambia. Also on the podcast, Joe Solomon, Managing Director of Oilex, OEX ticker there, and Joe talks about the Indian government's approval for their extension application for both their projects in India, that being Kambe and Bandut. Also on the podcast, Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covers Fidessa, Hammerson, Into Properties, and Rank Group. I also have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Leon Coetzer, Chief Executive Officer of Jubilee Metals Group, that's JLP ticker. Leon, thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
And the sun is absolutely shining here. There's a blue sky, and your stock is in the blue as well. You've had some good news out, and we'll get to that in a bit. There's the reason as to why your stock is up, as I'm looking now, just close to 20% up, which is very good. Before we get into that, Leon, just for people who've not heard the podcast before, who have not heard of your company, explain to them what Jubilee Metals Group is all about, please.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, sure. So Jubilee Metals Group, of course, is a company that focuses on the processing of surface materials. These surface materials are created by historical mining operations with gigantic surface piles of waste. We focus on the recovery of the metals from that material to produce various metals in the base metal and precious metal groups. That's our core focus. And of course, in addition to that, we hold mining rights to platinum mineral groups in South Africa.
Excellent stuff. So the news is the mining license for the Kabwe project in Zambia has been reinstated with immediate effect. Could you explain the background of this and the significance of this, please, Leon?
Yeah, sure. So background is Jubilee entered into an agreement with BMR, BMR PLC, to fund and develop the Kabwe project in partnership with that company. The Kabwe project is, again, classic right up our alley. It is a surface material, 6.5 approximate million tons of material at surface, containing very high grades of lead, zinc, and vanadium. Jubilee entered into that agreement because of our expertise, our track record of executing these projects. And of course, we were quite disappointed with an announcement or with a notification in February of this year, just as we have commenced the design work and mobilizing to go into the construction phase, received communication from the Zambian government that the mining license was actually revoked on certain assumptions made around the execution readiness of that project and the timeline between issuing the license and in fact executing that project. That process, we assisted BMR to appeal the process to demonstrate the Zambian government, first of all, the joint strength of the companies, Jubilee's track record, Jubilee's financial strength to execute that project. And of course, invited the Zambian ministry to the project to come and physically see the development that's happening on the project. And the conclusion of all of that is that the license, as you've just said, has been reinstated with immediate effect. Of course, that's a very positive sign for Jubilee, because in the background, we continued the development of the project. We continued optimizing the flow sheets and are ready to press the button basically immediately to deploy the team and commence the execution of that project. So it's a very big day for Jubilee. We're moving into Zambian territory, where our previous major focus was South African. We have identified a number of opportunities in Zambia that interests Jubilee, falls into our expertise, and Kabwe is that first project to execute in Zambia and into the base metal arena, as I said, lead, zinc, and vanadium. So a very exciting project indeed.
Yeah, well, and exactly where are you with this project, Leon? What's next?
So the immediate next steps is the conclusion of the design work, which is very close to be completed. We are currently, as of today already, remobilizing the team to manage the execution of that project. So the immediate next steps is conclusion of design and then commencing physical execution, construction, civil work on site, and placing the, of course, the orders for the various equipment for that operation. Our immediate focus is to commission the lead and zinc component of that process with a vanadium to recovery circuit to follow that. For that, and as we said in the announcement, within 3 months, so it's 90 days from today, we will actually start building the site. It's a lot of work has been done. There's a lot of civil work that was completed by BMR already, so we can leverage off that work. So the construction phase will be particularly short.
Marvellous stuff. Well, Leon, if someone's listening to this right now and likes the sound of what's happened today and your other projects as well, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, I suppose the first one is that the Kabwe project, as exciting as it is and for Jubilee and for our shareholders, it's not our only project. So the first point in Jubilee is that we have we are a company that are operational. We are running facilities, making metal, making earnings. The second area is we are on a very strong growth trajectory. For 2018 alone, we have indicated to the market that we are targeting the execution of 3 further projects, of which Kabwe is one. That includes 2 further platinum and chrome projects. And of course, thirdly, is that Jubilee sits with a pipeline of potential projects it can execute to ensure that its growth will continue.
Marvellous stuff, Leon. Good to chat to you. And hopefully, you know, you've got lots of things going on. Hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Joe Solomon, Managing Director of OilX. That's OEX. Joe, thanks for joining me.
Nice to be with you, Justin.
Yeah, we haven't chatted for a while, and I know lots of things have been going on, and I think the last time we chatted was August last year. So for people not aware of OilX, Joe, give us a brief summary as to what the business is all about, please.
We are a oil and gas company working in India. We have a major project called Camp Bay, which we're working on to get to commercial production. And that's what's taking most of our time. Very exciting project.
Excellent stuff. Okay. And I noticed the announcement that the government of India has approved your extension application for both your projects in India, that's being Camp Bay and Bandut. Can you give us the background to this, if you could, Joe, please?
We've been working on these projects now for the last, for quite a number of years, but with a rejuvenated effort over the last 12 months. We've been working closely with our technical experts and with our partners in India and with the government of India, firstly, to get a better understanding of the behaviour of the rocks in what is a known gas reservoir with potential for multi-trillion cubic feet resources. And what we've been working on is to develop a sensible field development plan, particularly in mind to move to the next phase of getting to commercial reality in terms of flow rates, gas flow rates from this very high value project at Cambay. It's involved a huge effort from our OilX team over the last 12 months. It's been a sterling effort. Our team has worked really hard. And to get to this government approval point, I think we're only the second company in India to have reached this, and it's enormous watershed for us to now have clear sailing with now effectively 12 years in front of us on the as far as tenure on both of these projects is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely, quite so. And I suppose, what does this mean for the company? What's the significance here, Joe?
Well, without the extension, we couldn't realize the potential. We would have only had 2 years left in terms of tenure. So now that we've got the extended tenure, it's provided the missing ingredient that we needed to go ahead with our capital expenditures that, as I said before, aimed at proving up the value on the Cambay project in particular. In a success case, this could return enormous value to the company and our shareholders. And so these extensions provide us with the surety of tenure that we needed before going ahead with a drilling program and a development program, including surface facilities for gas production, including upgrades to those.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, you can put plans in place now, but for the next 12 months or so, for the next year ahead, what are those sort of plans?
Well, we're working now on a detailed technical plan to drill two vertical wells. We're scheduling them for the fourth quarter of this year, given no delays. That's our target. These are two vertical wells using the technical approaches that have been outlined in recent studies, using international experts and looking at the geotechnical aspects, looking at drilling, completion, stimulation aspects, to establish gas flow rates at commercial levels. As I said before, we know that we've got gas in the ground. We know that we have to stimulate the reservoir. We know that we have to be careful in drilling these. We'll be taking core samples and then analysing them to determine the exact procedures for the project. So in effect, we'll be drilling and completing each well, then taking the core and analysing it, and then coming back and doing a stimulation program. And our aim is to establish commercial rates, which will lead to a much larger development program, likely involving many tens of horizontal wells on a full field development. And then on a second issue, we're working with our Indian partner to resolve the issues that they have, where they haven't been able to pay our cash calls for a while. So those two are our major effort over the next 12 months.
Yeah, and you did mention it earlier, but I mean, it's probably worth summarising again. So what do you know about the size or the potential size of the resource, Joe?
Yeah, look, we've had a number of independent consultants internationally recognised look at this over a number of years, and everyone comes back and says that there are potential for multiple trillion cubic feet of gas reservoir. So by anybody's measure, this is a very large volume of gas. We know it's there. We're actually producing it at the moment, but at low rates. Mm-hmm. So our aim is to get to higher flow rates using these new techniques that we've been working on. And that'll return enormous value back to our shareholders.
Yeah, okay. Excellent stuff. Well, Joe, if someone's listening to this and they're not following the story yet, but likes the sound of this and the plan you've got, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
We are a company that continues to chalk up successes in progressing our Indian projects, aiming at building back the value in the company. So that's the main thing. This recent success getting the application extension from the government is a huge event for us. Secondly, we're well established in India. We have a very good Indian local team. We're well positioned to bring in new projects. And then third, the third point here is the actual potential in India as a country. There's enormous untapped potential in the oil and gas sectors, and we're one of a very few foreign companies working in the country. It's giving us a unique position and a unique value proposition. So we think people should be interested in what we're doing in India.
Joe, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is founder of financialorbit.com. It's Chris Bailey. You're right, Chris.
Hello, Justin. Very well, thank you. Very well. Happy post-Easter period.
Yeah, Q2. I just said to you before, you know, the pre-chat there, it feels like a very quiet. I know it's not. There's a lot of news out there, but the market's feeling very subdued. It's almost like half of people are not taking part. And I feel when you get the markets going downwards, grinding a bit lower, general interest, you know, wanes a little bit. And it's almost like, you know, when you have a bubble, like sorry, Bitcoin went crazy, there were more people getting into on setting up accounts, on cryptocurrency accounts, than ever before. And that's when you should get out of the market. You know, when the market's topping like that, people who've never, ever invested before are getting into the market, that's when you get out. And I feel like we're just having that hangover period of that, you know, yeah. And then obviously the trade war, the threatened trade war, all that's compounding that. I just feel at the moment we are in that period, it's like a limbo area where people are sort of not interested a little bit in the markets because they've grind lower. And I notice it even with the podcast. I notice on Twitter as well, less interaction between people because they're almost, they don't like losing money, people. I've seen some people just stop investing. I've seen a couple of people cancel their Twitter accounts and say, oh, I've had enough of investing. It's a hard market, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, as Buffett says, as Warren Buffett says, when people are fearful, you get greedy, and that's what you should be, because absolutely, always the best opportunities come when people are looking the other way, they don't have the faith, they don't have the interest, etc. And it's kind of fascinating. I mean, in the last few days, I have seen a number of articles saying UK stock market has underperformed the most in X years against its international peers. Or one big investment bank is coming out and saying the UK stock market is the most hated amongst all the different global markets of the world. And I look at this and I think to myself, my goodness, there's got to be opportunity. And what's really fascinating is that if you look at the last few weeks, how many UK companies have been bid for? I mean, quite a few. You've obviously had the high profile GKN contested bid. You've had Sky, where you've had a couple of bidders going at it head to toe. You've had Fenner. They've been taken out by Michelin of France. And this morning we've got Fidessa, this sort of clever kind of information company. They describe themselves as a sort of providing market data and analysis and workflow technology to primarily the financial sector. They've announced that on top of the bid from a Swiss company they picked up a few weeks ago, two American companies, tech companies, have also bid for them. So it's kind of interesting, isn't it, how at these times of strife and fear and I can't be bothered, suddenly things start to happen.
Absolutely. He's done quite well, old Warren Buffett, and it is true, and I've said this on the podcast a couple of times. So listen, when people are despondent and when everyone thinks, you know, the stock market is going off a cliff and it's going to continue to go downwards, when that's the thought, when people are the most bearish, that's the time to start topping up on the shares you know about. The story hasn't changed on them. It's just basically everyone's just, you know, bearish, and that's the time when you least expect a bounce. That's when it happens, generally, doesn't it? You know,
that's it. You get greedy when others are fearful, yeah. and as to you know, extend the saying, get fearful when others are greedy. Yeah. You know, that's always the way. Markets are desperately psychological, particularly in the shorter term. Sure, fundamentals come to bear, but we all know that. And you mentioned things like Bitcoin already, Justin. You know, that was completely bonkers. But, you know, it's just exactly the same as the tech boom in previous years and other excitements or other massive fears. You know, you've got to try to think the other way sometimes when things get pushed way beyond the fundamentals of what they deserve, you know, rightly or wrongly. That's always the way. So for me, it's fascinating that you've got a number of UK companies, big UK, all those ones I mentioned, billion quid plus UK companies, you know, these aren't small little rinky-dink things, are getting bid for by other established international names. You know, that's kind of fascinating to me. And it tells me that you've got to keep on looking at UK stocks, because there are things out there. Sure, we can pick holes in the UK economy, international diplomatic policy and other gubbins and everything else. But the reality is that there are opportunities.
Yeah, cool. Okay, what's next? Fidesa there. Anything else you're looking at, Chris?
So Hammerson. Now, Hammerson got a bid as well. Big property company, owners a lot of shopping centres and related. They got a bid, of course, a few weeks ago from another continental European property player at a very healthy premium to their share price. Now, what's really fascinating about the Hammerson comments today is actually twofold. The first is that their shopping centres did rather well during Easter. Now, a couple of days ago, we had all of the Easter footfall stats. They looked terrible. People blaming the weather and everything else. But what Hammerson said this morning is that their shopping centres had a footfall growth of 5% compared with last year, whilst the average shopping centre around the country was down 2.4%. So what they're saying is, look, our shopping centres are great. And as a consequence, you know, we're an attractive business, you know, obviously, as shown by this bid that they picked up a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. Now, what's kind of interesting is Hammerson, as you may recall, a few months ago announced that they were going to buy out Into, which is a FTSE 250 listed property play, again, with large shopping centre and other interests. And what's interesting in today's statement is that Hammerson, I don't know, they're kind of playing a bit coy, really. They're sort of saying, well, we think that this bid that we picked up a few weeks ago still undervalues us. Our net asset value is above what we were bid for our company. But they're playing a little bit coy on the Into bid now, because I think, and I certainly thought so at the time, that Into potentially devalues the Hammerson business. Sure, it bulks them up. But the trouble is that, as shown by today's stats, Hammerson have really focused on quality, and Into's been a bit more, not perhaps so attuned to always having high quality stuff. Yeah. So that's the kind of sort of subplot. Are Hammerson going to try and push up the bid from this continental European company, or are they actually going to say, no, we're going to go our own independent way and we're going to take over Into, as we talked about a few months ago, and crack on? So, you know, that's the sort of the intrigue there. But again, it shows that, you know, property and shopping centres and related and retail may appear very difficult, but there are some good stories as well as bad stories. And that's the market today. You know, you've got to be very, you've got to understand the company that you're investing in, what they do, and accept that there'll be big outperformers and also big underperformers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Anything else you're looking at, Chris?
The final one has to be Rank. Now, Rank, it's amazing, actually. I was just looking this up. Do you know, they get 10 million people a year still going to the bingo at one of the Rank Mecca and other brands of bingo that they have, which is just amazing to me. People spend apparently 20 quid a head on each of those visits. So, you know, it's still a big business for them. Mm-hmm. But they've had an absolute shocker today. The shares were down double-digit percentage when I last looked. And they blame the weather. They said that that hit people going to the bingo, which is fair enough.
Yeah, do you know what? I was going to say that, Chris. A lot of people blame the weather, and I've seen clothing companies blame the weather. I've seen clothing companies blame bad winter weather for non-sales of the winter clothes or whatever. But, I mean, I think with bingo, largely an elderly audience, I may be stereotyping here, but I think when you've got it that cold like we had it, and the weather has been dreadful, I can see how it would affect the bingo in some way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, their digital business grew, but as always, you know, the physical location bingo halls are still a very big part of that universe. And it's only a slow drift to people kind of gravitating towards the digital options. Again, I'm sure the slightly older generation, you know, it's a social thing for them as well as, you know, an interesting game to play.
Yeah.
So that's one aspect. The other aspect, and I did smile at this, actually, they also own the Grosvenor Casino brand. And actually, that's a bigger part, a bigger contribution to their business than the bingo halls, as it happens. You know, a classic casino with all the variety of games you would expect. I did really like the line in the statement where they said, Grosvenor Casino's underperformance has also been exacerbated by a negative contribution from its VIP players. What I reckon that sounds like is if the VIP players, you know, the big swinging players, they've had a good run and they've taken money off Grosvenor casinos. They've won at blackjack or roulette or whatever they're playing. And sometimes it goes that way. The house can't always win. So yeah. I'm afraid Rank's had a bit of a profit whoopsie today, caught between the winter and some successful VIP players. And the shares, as I say, have pushed off, I think it was around about 14% when I last looked. What's interesting about Rank is that the shares have pushed down to sort of a year plus low. Mm-hmm. I reckon, though, they're not super cheap yet. They can get a little bit cheaper than this. But what people are clearly going to be looking for is undoubtedly an improvement in the weather and a revival of the customer numbers, but B, the fact that the house wins again. And often with betting businesses, you know, they go through a bit of a bad run. You know, some punters get lucky, some gamblers get lucky, and then it swings back the other way. We all know the way the odds work in betting companies and how they set up the games and stuff like that. So I'm keeping an eye on Rank. Bad day today, but my guess is somewhat easier comparisons, certainly over the next 6 to 12 months. So yeah. When I took a look at it, there's certainly a bit of support. I think it's about 750p on the chart. If I looked at the five-year share price chart, and there seemed to be a bit more support in the 700s the 170s rather than the 180s.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, I started to look at the wrong chart there, but I'm looking down. It's odd.
The thing about the market, yeah. Justin, sorry. Often I think about when I value a company, I'm looking at the market cap, and the market
always,
cap
it's
800 and something million, and it's in the 700 and something million quid that there's the value. And there you're talking 160s, 170s, and the share at the moment I think is about in the low 180s. So it's getting there. And if you punch up the five-year chart, you see that there was a big sort of line of support resistance at about 160, 165, which I think is a very interesting point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you know what? Oddly, well, it's not oddly, sometimes it's, you know, it happens like this, but I mean, back in January this year, when was it, January 2017, they spiked to this level at 180. They just spiked lower on a daily spike down and popped back up. So if they don't hold this 180 level here, they are going lower because that's where they held last time. But I mean, like you said, there's previous sort of resistance going back a couple of years, about 169, 170. So that's the next bit. But drop below that, and they're probably going down to 130 odd. But
that's right.
Yeah. So
well, I think short term it's going to depend on better weather, and undoubtedly with their big customers, whether that roulette wheel goes for Rank or whether it goes for their customers. But generally on these things, ultimately the house does win. That's the way these games go. And so my guess would be Rank has it kind of grinds back over the next 6 to 12 months. So one to be keeping an eye on, but not one to bet on. Haha, maybe today.
Yeah, and do you know what? I would consider changing the name Rank. Just in this day and age, obviously when they set out, obviously I don't think it had the same implications as it does now. But Rank is not a good name, is it? Let's be honest. But there we are. It's all in the brand. Marvellous. Thanks for that, Chris. We'll chat next week, fella.
See you soon.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, Sirius Minerals, that's SXX. At 4, Photon Star LED Group, PSL. At 3, EVR Holdings, EVRH. At 2, Live Company Group, that's LVCG. And number 1, most followed company, someone I've not heard of, is Sosanda. SOS is ticker there. I'll look them up and see what they're all about. In fact, what market cap are they? Oops, slip of the R there. The market cap is... that can't be right. I'll check that out later. So, that's interim results, 9 months. Shares, must be a small cap, I think. But I'll check that out in a bit. So, Sanda, SOS, check out what they're about. They've just released their interim results for the 9 months ended 31st December. Revenues rose to £861,000 from £141,000. So profit loss before tax to £5.1 million. Compared to £5 million. So a bigger loss compared to a loss of £1 million. So the loss is bigger, but the revenue is a bit bigger. Okay, time for the top five most popular RNSs in the last 24 hours. They are as follows. At five, Frontera Resources Corporation, last conversion of convertible shares. At four, 88 Energy, passing of Paul Baczynski, JV partner. It's an odd RNS to like. I suppose it's some kind of memorial to him in some way, some strange way. But there we go. At three, Harvest Minerals, HMI, updated corporate video. At two, Ascent Resources, operational update. And number one, most liked RNS from today was from EVR Holdings, and that's the indicative launch timing for Melody VR app. So it's, they've been launched for 2 years, I think, Yelvage, and they've been talking about this VR app they've got in the music business. They're well connected, of course they are. But so this should be in the coming weeks. So at last, they're finally going to get it out there. Quite exciting. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz, discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.